Wow. Well, we're going to worship more. Thank you guys so much for that. And by the way, I almost felt like the power going out on the soundboard was a real blessing. You guys, wow, you have powerful voices. That was, I mean, it's a small crowd, but man, I think we just need to shut off the sound more often and let you guys sing. That was beautiful. Well, I'm going to just give a brief devotion before we get into prayer. I want to just take 15 minutes. And there is a powerful prayer meeting in the book of Acts. And we're not going to stay in the book of Acts, but I just want to read something that happened in the book of Acts. In chapter 4, verse 31, it said, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Now, that's the kind of prayer meetings I'd love to have, right? Where the place is shaken. Now, it didn't always happen that way. It didn't always end in amen and, you know, an earthquake. But boy, wouldn't that be amazing if we shook this place, if we let the God of heaven, the creator of the earth, the God who saved us, shake this place with our prayers. And I want to say something about this powerful prayer. You know, the church started meeting some opposition, and when they came back, they prayed for boldness. Now, they didn't pray for to get stuff. They didn't pray for the nation of Israel. They prayed for boldness in fulfilling the Great Commission. They prayed for boldness in completing the will of God. In fact, one of the things they quote is from the Psalm. They said, "As your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot in vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And as they're praying to God, they're asking for power to fulfill what he's called them to do. And I'll tell you right now, that's where powerful prayer, earth-shaking prayer starts, is aligning our will with the will of God. It doesn't start with saying, "God, come meet my will." You know, I think we as people get caught up in a lot of things, a lot of movements, especially movements that we love. You know, I felt like the election, man, I was so bummed about the election results. I don't know if you felt that way. Maybe you were happy and you can tell me why later. And then that'll just make me more sad. But anyway, but I was so frustrated and bummed, and it definitely wasn't what I wanted. But at the same time, I recognize that God is the God of all the earth. He's the sovereign God. And my place and my position is not to make the United States of America great. Now, I'll be a patriot and I'll be faithful to my nation, but I've been called to something different. And that's the fulfillment of the Great Commission. But these apostles, as they prayed, they didn't start out praying earth-shaking prayers. In fact, what we read about in the Gospels is they hardly made time for prayer. It was Jesus who was always retreating off by himself and making time for prayer. And in fact, even on the night of his crucifixion, it was Jesus who said, stay here and pray and be watchful, and they kept falling asleep. But something changed in the book of Acts. And I really believe a part of it is they were pursuing that spiritual righteousness, that spiritual nature. They were pursuing that relationship with God. And then God started moving through them. Well, let's look real fast at Jesus' instruction about prayer in Matthew 6. Because there's some don'ts and some do's in prayer. If you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6. It says in the model, in chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in their synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Now, I just want to pause there for a minute and talk about the don'ts. As Jesus instructs in the Sermon on the Mount about how we should not pray, he's not talking about having corporate prayer or praying publicly. The key word there is don't pray like the hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite is somebody who's playing a part in a play. They're wearing a mask and they're playing the part of somebody else. We've seen this all the time in Hollywood where these actors will talk about their Oscar nomination and how they had to become the character. But that's not them. This is the character they played. And that's really where the idea of a hypocrite comes from. It's somebody who plays a part. And so Jesus says, when you pray, don't be just playing a part for everybody to see. But no, you're not going to just pray in public so everybody can see you. You're not going to time your prayer, you know, in Jerusalem and in Israel, 3 o'clock was the time of prayer. So you could time it just right. Oh, okay, man, I got to go look spiritual. Let me get out there at 3 o'clock, stand on the street corner, raise up my arms and look really spiritual and kind of check. Is anybody listening? Okay, maybe I'll go over here. There's more people over here. Oh, God. You guys left. I'm going to go over here. And really look spiritual for people. That's not how the Christian prays. In fact, the Christian prays very different. He also says that to go into your room. Now, what room? That word for room there is used of a place where you'd keep the household treasure, the food stores, and the treasures of the household. That's where you're going to go into, the place of the treasure. That you're just going to go into that secret place and you're going to pray. And again, there's a stark contrast into the way they were praying to be publicly noticed. It's saying, you're not praying to be publicly noticed. You're praying to be noticed, to seek God. So when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They would just go over and over and over again, like God can't hear, or they have to try to get his attention with many words. Therefore, don't be like them. And why would we let pagans and heathens be the model for prayer anyway? Have you ever thought about that? Why would you look to somebody who doesn't even know God to model to you how to pray? Yet, there are people out there, there's televangelists out there who are hitting people with jackets to heal them and doing all sorts of wild stuff. And there's nothing spiritual about it. They're just getting everybody hyped up, getting everybody excited about something, getting everybody excited about a movement or a gathering together, but there's really not much spiritual things happening there. Well, he says, don't be like them. And then Jesus goes on to say, your Father in heaven knows the things, your Father knows the things you have a need of before you ask him. Now, I love that. That's a beautiful idea. And sometimes we need to remember that, don't we? Especially when we're discouraged, especially when we feel defeated. Isn't it good to know that God already knows, that he knows and he sees? And I love that because sometimes I don't feel that I have the right words. And it doesn't matter anyway. It's even if I just cry out, oh God, God knows my heart. He knows the things I need. So Jesus gives this beautiful model prayer. Let's look at it real fast. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's where we start with. Notice that it starts with our Father. Oh, Abba. Abba, Father, Daddy. Oh, our Father. Isn't that special? You know, I'll tell you right now something I've learned about the title Father, because I get cards on Father's Day. But I don't get cards from other people's kids on Father's Day. It's kind of weird. And also, it would be weird if I got cards from other people's kids on Father's Day, because then I'd be like, Lord, do you know anything about this? Does anybody know anything about this? Like, why am I getting, you know? But because my kids are my kids, they get to reach out to me and say, Daddy. They get to come to me and say, Father. And I respond to them as a father. And that's one of the reasons why I won't ever call a priest father. Because they're not my father. Because that term is reserved for somebody that I have a familial relationship with. And Jesus is honestly doing something marvelous here as he's unpacking this for the people listening in the Sermon on the Mount. Wait a minute, I can have a familial relationship with the God in heaven, the Holy God? That's powerful. That I can come to God and say, oh, Father, my Father, our Father, holy is your name. Why? Because you're in heaven. You are holy. There's that wonderful worship and praise. Then he says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, praying for God's kingdom to come is a very spiritually mature thing to do. Because when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're asking God to bring about the work that he wants to bring about. We're also, in a way, submitting to him, saying, I'm here to be used by you for your kingdom work. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, God's will is always going to be done. We know that. But will you humble yourself and submit yourself to him? In your life, today, this very moment, will you say, your will be done in me? Because there's a lot of things that we engage in life that we haven't even taken a second to ask, Lord, is this your will? Do you want this in my life? Is this what you want me to invest time in and money and treasure in and all the other things that go with it? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I think the more you walk with Christ, the more you grow in maturity in Christ, the easier it is to say, your kingdom come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. But, when we talk with my kids around the dinner table, they're not super excited for the rapture. I'm like, oh, yeah, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. Let's do this. Let's get it done with. And my kids, because they're young and they're still trying to understand these things and grow in the Lord, they're like, well, can we just wait 10 years? Can we just wait till I do this or make this life achievement? And myself, as I've been walking with the Lord, I'm like, oh, trust me, it's going to be so much better if the Lord comes. But that's really a sign of maturity that you're calling out for God's kingdom. And that's one of the differences we see in that earth-shaking prayer that the disciples, the apostles prayed, is they were praying for God's will in accomplishing the Great Commission. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, give us this day our daily bread. Obviously, looking for the provision from God, looking to God for provision. And I'll tell you, I think one of the struggles we're having right now in America, in the church, with some of the things going on, with even, we look around, look around for a minute, look at the attendance tonight, just look around for a minute. We know that attendance has dropped down with COVID. There's concerns about what we do, how we live our lives, and this is not to, I don't want anybody to feel pressured to do anything, but I do think COVID is a real test of what it means to actually step out in faith. I don't think the American church really has to step out in faith much. I think we're kind of comfortable. We don't generally pray our daily bread, Lord, provide our daily bread, because we've got a savings account. We're thankful. We'll give thanks, and I'm not being critical of that. God has blessed us so richly, but we're usually not praying for God to provide some sort of daily food because we already have it. That's not the need. We're also not generally praying for a real step in faith on a regular basis, because we kind of know how our day's going to go every day, don't we? For the most part, we know. But when trials like this whole pandemic has come up, we're actually starting to exercise that muscle of faith a little bit more. And maybe some of you guys at the very beginning of the pandemic, if you remember the 14 days to slow the curve, maybe some of you, the first time you went to the supermarket, you're like, okay, here we go. Lord, please really protect me. I got to go to the market. I can't stay home anymore. I don't know where you were at, but maybe you felt that experience where you're really stepping out and trusting. And I just don't think we have to exercise faith a lot. And so here, as Jesus is telling us to call upon God for our daily needs, truly I think we have to consider this in a deeper way and say, recognizing what God has provided, but also recognizing it, seeking him to say what he wants us to do in that daily, what steps of faith God wants us to take. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Obviously, this whole idea of forgiving those who have sinned against us, owe us, and that we forgive them. Oh, man, there is nothing that digs to the heart of man like calling us to forgiveness of those who have wronged us. Is there not? Is there anything that is more piercing than someone who has wronged us, taken advantage of us, and that we're called to forgive? Oh, man, that's hard. But yet, first we say, Lord, forgive us. As they forgive their debtors, right? No, as we forgive our debtors, Lord. Because you've forgiven me, I can forgive. Do not lead us into temptation. Now, we know that God does not tempt. The Bible says that. But deliver us from the evil one. And we know that God is not the tempter. But we are asking for God to give us the provision, the means, the wisdom to avoid temptation and the evil one in our lives. As Satan plots and roams around like a roaring lion waiting to devour his prey, I think some in here tonight may struggle with ongoing sin in their life. They've been giving themselves over and being held captive by habitual ongoing sin. And this is a beautiful prayer, part of this prayer, to ask God for deliverance for that prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, please help me to overcome that temptation. Now, we know the scriptures are very clear that says God will always provide a way out. God doesn't allow anyone to be tempted beyond what they can bear, but will always provide an escape, a way out, so that we are without excuse. And I would encourage you, as we pray tonight, maybe you need prayer for healing and deliverance from a habitual sin. We'll be willing to pray for you tonight for that. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll tell you, with our Father in heaven, and yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. These two beautiful bookends. When we see the world in turmoil, our community in turmoil, the politics of America in turmoil, whatever it is, the pandemic, whatever turmoil is stirring up, we see that we have a Father in heaven, and we see that he's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, all men. It just goes, wait, there's the stability. There's the rock. There is the dock I want my boat tied to, in the midst of that storm, so I can be pulled in. That's where I want to be. Well, tonight as we pray, I want to start our prayer time together. And we're going to pray freely and openly, and then we'll go back into worship. But I want to start with our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's start by praying just praise to God. Let's call out to our Daddy in heaven and pray together with that. So let's go ahead and get started in our prayer. I would bless you all, but as ministers in his kingdom, I want you to bless each other. So those of you with family members here, you pray a blessing over each other before you leave. And those of you that are single, if you're willing, find each other and pray for each other as well. I'm going to go bless my daughter who showed up tonight with a blessing. And God bless you all, but you pray for each other, okay? Thank you for joining us for prayer. Next week, we'll resume 2 Samuel.